Okay, everyone, Moadim Lisimcha. Tonight's daf in Masechet Sotah brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, absolutely stunning, beautiful, is daf chet. However, we are a little bit behind, and we're right at the bottom of Zayin Amud Beit, Ve'im Amra Torah Ani Ma'alin Otah L'Sha'arei Mizrach, right at the bottom. So it says in the Mishnah that if she continues to insist that she is innocent, so then we take her up to the entry to the Harabayit, which means that somehow or other she's gone all the way from the Lishkas Hagozis, which is in the Azara, and now she's all the way at the bottom of the Harabayit at the entry. How is that possible? Ask the Gemara Mal, you know, what do you mean we take her up? She's there. She was right there in the Lishkas Hagozis. How in the world did she get outside? Basically, we're trying to drive her crazy. That's all. And therefore, we move her around. And that is the most discouraging thing in the world. Exactly the same thing that we do to Tanya. We know in the Bright that says, Rabbi Shimon ben Alazar Omer, Beidin Masi'in et Ha'edein, where we have Edei Nefashas, we're trying to persuade them to give up if it's not 100% accurate, to have any doubts. So what do? We do what the bureaucrats do. We send you from desk to desk. Why don't you try the office? By the time the guy gets to the fourth office, he's totally deflated. The heck with it. I'd rather just pay the extra taxes than to suffer here any longer. So this is exactly what we do to them. We move them around from place to place, and that way they get so discouraged that they go mad. And that's what we do to her as well. Now we know the mucker for bureaucracy in the Gemara. Okay, now the Mishnah said that there were three things that we do there. So that's the place that we will give the sotot, the Mayimama Orim, and that's the place that we take care of the Mitzoraim, and that's the place where we mitaher the Yodot. And then that part we said when we learned the Mishnah, we didn't even understand what that meant. What do you mean mitaher at the Yodot? So think about it. I understand the Sotot have to be there, because it says, Beferish in the Pasuk, Vehemida Kohenet Haisha, Lifnei Hashem. So Lifnei Hashem means that you're facing the entryway into the Keichel, and that's at Shar Mikdar, is the closest that we're going to bring you there. That's at the opening. Mitzorayim Nami, it also says over there. So there's not much of a choice. She's got to be at that place. But you'll let that. I don't understand what that means. Why in the world? There's nothing that she has to do in that location. It's not like a Mitzorah where you have to put your hands in or your feet in order to get the dom and so on. Over here, you don't have anything to do. Well, what's that mean? I mean, I figure that you're going to tell me that it's because Ilema Mishum. We want her to Akim Mekayomen HaKorbanayim, because we have a general din that a person should be standing near the korban that's being brought in their benefit. Because it says in the Braita, Ein Korbanon Shel Adam Karev, Elohim Kein Omed Al Gabav. So a person actually should be standing over his korban, because it says Beferish Tishmuru. We understand that that Tishmuru is just said to all of Klal Yisrael on the korban tamid. So it says over there, that's the marker of the din of the ma'amadites. So Tishmuru Lakriv Libimoadon means that we appoint, so Klal Yisrael appoints people, but over here it's personal korban. So then that means that that person for whom the korban is being brought needs to actually be there. But if that's the point, then it's not specifically the Yodot that have to be there. I mean, anybody who has to bring a korban because of the need for being mitayer from Tumas Mishka Vumoshav, which would include the Zovin and the Zovas, there's also should be, it should have mentioned them just as much as it mentions a Yodot. There's no particular thing about a Yoledet. Says the Gemara, yeah, you're 100%. That's true. We're using the Yodot basically as just a stand-in for that group of people. And therefore, in Achinami, V'chodiminayonokat, the Tana took one, Zov, Zova, Yoledes. And okay, so Yoledes is really closely connected with the idea of the Sotah, because after all, if she turns out to be Torah, so she's Yoledet now without Tsar, and she's Yoledet Yoter Banim, that are Yoter Metukanim, as we're going to see. So it mentions that one, but it doesn't, it allows you to make the jump, obviously, that this is meant to include also all of those Tumiyot Zemikuf in the Mechayim, a Korban. So any Mechusar Kippurim we're going to talk about would be there. Now, the question is, where exactly, we're doing it over here, but how is the process and precisely what is done? We haven't really learned yet. So Tana Rabbanan, the Braita says, first of all, I have to know the halacha. The halacha is Ein Mashkin Shtei Sotot Yachad. It's usher, we're going to see that it's a pasuk actually, that we don't put, the reason we're mentioning it over here in the Nogea, where it is that they're standing, so Tosis is medayik, that this means that we won't even allow them to be near each other. It's not the pshat, just that we avoid giving them the drink, but we'll see that the svara actually is here, that we don't want them watching each other. So I'm going to bring them in at the same time. We don't want each one of them, or one of them at least, let's say one of them is actually really Tahora. So she is going to be standing on her innocence, right? But the other one, when she says, oh, this woman is probably the same as me, and she's not frightened, and she's going to drink the water, I'll do the same thing. So that will be mechazik her not to be moda, and therefore, again, we're going to have the problem of mechikat Hashem. So because of that, we don't want her to be together with another. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, that's not the reason. It's a pasuk. What are you giving me all kinds of svaras when we have a beferish of pasuk? The Torah specifies ishka hakohen and ishbia ota hakohen v'ishka. So that means it's her. Ishbia ota ishka with a mapike, it's her. She is the one that is specific, and therefore it's not your business to tell me why you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that halacha. It's a pasuk. So what are you bringing me your logic for? Hey, you know, that's a very good point. I mean, so why did the Tanakhama bring, he could have said the word ota. What does he have to give us this weak logic for it when he has a prefer shekzera takatu? And says the Gemara, the Tanakhama is Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon is Dafka the Tana, who always gives us the rationale behind the pasuk, because he darshans the rationale as being Nogel Halacha, amazingly. So according to Rabbi Shimon, it's going to make a difference in understanding what the logic is. And the logic here is, in order not to be Mechaziker, because we want her still to be Moda. So he's explaining, Matam Kohamar. So basically what he's saying is, Matam Motalavada, why did the Torah insist that she should be alone? Kidei shelo yeliba gas b'chavrata. Bashenkin, Rabbi Yehuda says, it's outrageous. What are you, a conservative rabbi over here? Don't give me the reasonability and the rationality. Just tell me it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon. So anyway, if Rabbi Shimon is Derish Taimid Akra, so then that means we're looking at a Nafkamina LaHalacha. I mean, otherwise, what's the point? What is the Nafkamina LaHalacha between the Svara that Rabbi Shimon gives for the Pasuk and between just taking the pasuk as gzirat hakatuv that doesn't allow you to give me reasons? I mean, does it matter? Yeah, of course it matters. Might be naive. Let's imagine a case where you have a woman that is clearly so terrified of what's coming that she's literally trembling, right? So she's sitting there trembling, and you're telling me we have to worry that if there's another Saita there, she's going to take kayak from her to deny it. The woman is scared out of her wits. So therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, who's Dorish, time in a crop, we have, in that case, an afkamina lalacha, because over there, it won't matter to us that she sees someone else. And therefore, if she's continuing to claim that she's innocent, despite the fact that she's shaking like a leaf, so it's clear that it's because she's innocent and not because she's getting kayak from anyone else over there. Mashenke Rebuta says, so I don't care if she's shaking like a leaf. The Torah says, only be Mashka Ota. So where do you get the rights to go and change what it says in the pasuk? Says the Gemara, but wait a second. Anyway, you can't be mashkash teshot sotot ka'achat for a completely different reason. So even if she would be rotetet, it really wouldn't matter. Because even according to Rabbi Shimon, you've got the problem of osim mitzvot chavilot chavilot. Remember, we're always very careful not to make it look like we are treating mitzvahs like mass production. Now that of course is a big problem this morning. But so at that time they were very mocked with every mitzvah should be looked at as this unique opportunity and so on, right? So therefore, let's give you examples. We have a brice and it says like this, Tanya, I mean assuming that we don't accept it tonight. We don't do the ritziat ha'ozen together with another one. And all of these have nothing to do with particular reasons. It's not because we're derish anything in the pasuk. It's certainly not because we have a time at a crop. It's simply because the fisha ein osim mitzvot chavilot chavilot. So what's the difference? If we're going to process two sotot at the same time, so basically we're reducing the mitzvah into this generic kind of thing, which is, it looks like you're just trying to, okay, let's get through it, boys, come on, finish up over here. How many sotos we got today? Okay, just get it over with. That's horrible. So therefore, what difference would it make? We're back to the original question. If there's no difference between Rabbi Shimon and Darsh Tam and Akra, because anyway, in Enosim mitzvot kavilot kavilot, so why not just quote the pasuk? Because there's still going to be a big daf kamina lokasha. This idea of enosim mitzvot chavilot chavilot, that has to do with the processing. That means that one kohen is processing two sotos quickly, one after the other, and they're all standing in line. That's inappropriate. But I mean, if you have two sotot at the same time with different groups, and there's 100 people around one sota, 100 people around another sota, different kohanim, and so on. And that's not called mitzvot chavilot chavilot. So binogea, those cases where we're not talking about one kohen, and over there we need to know the difference between if she's rotetet, which according to Rabbi Shimon, it's clear she's so frightened that we don't need to worry about her taking encouragement from this other woman. Okay, so therefore, in that case, there will be still a nafkamina between Rabbi Shimon, who's the first time in the Quran, Rabbi Yehuda, who says, oh, it's just the Gzirat HaKatuv. So Kan B'Shnei Kohanim, Mashenkin, over here, well, we're telling you the Nafkamina, with Rabbi Shimon, we're talking about where we've now obviated the question of Enosim Mitzvot Chavilot Chavilot. That's not an issue in this case. So what then is the situation where the woman is clearly terrified? That would be a machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, then we go on to say in the Mishnah, that the Kohen grabs her by the neck, and basically if it tears her clothes, we don't care. If it's forem, it's forem. You can tear it into pieces, it makes no nafkamina. But where do we get that from? Tana Rabba. Ufara et rosh ha'isha. This is over here that he uncovers the hair of this woman, the head of this woman. So if you just look at that, you would think that the only thing that the Kohen has to do is to take off her sheitel, whatever, Eli El Rosha. All that we're concerned about is to expose her hair. How do we know Gufa Minayin? Well, obviously, I mean, what do you mean Farad Rosha Isha? And if you said Farad Rosha in the middle of the discussion of the Sotah, we wouldn't know what you're talking about. We're talking about what to do to the Sotah. If you say Farad Rosha, it's pretty clear. If you say Farad Rosha Isha, so then what you're saying is that anything on this woman is meant to be uncovered. Okay, so that, I mean, if that's the case, why does it say mention her head? It's not good with her head. Ah, that's to tell me that there's an extra pre-ah that you do on her hair. There's not enough to uncover her hair. But you actually pull her hair do apart. It says pretty braids or whatever. You just expose her hair so she just looks like a mop, you know? So that is already a greater level of priyat. So besides ha'isha, her body as a whole, there's also the way in your which you're poreat or shah to tell me that you're so teret sara. So you take the hair apart. Rav Yehuda Omer. Now the question is, where does Rav Yehuda come off saying that if she's beautiful, So then we don't want her breasts uncovered. So imaya libana ah, or if for sarana ah, we're not going to strip her. So what does that mean? Is the machlokas basically about whether we are worried about people that are there getting turned on? Is that the issue? Which would mean that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we are chayish lirura, and the Rabbanan, according to the Rabbanan, we're not chayish lirura. I mean, that's what it sounds to be saying. So Rabbi Yehuda says, well, if she's good looking, we don't want people looking at her. And the Rabbanan say, well, we don't care. But we know that that can't be true, because there is actually indeed a machlokas like that. However, it's in the opposite direction. And that is in a braita that talks about how it is that you're supposed to do skila. So for skila, it says in a braita that for if we're talking about a male, so a male, we put like a little, cover, like a, what they call a loincloth kind of thing, over his genitals. So bechasino toper kechad milafanav. But otherwise, he's completely naked. And a woman, we cover her both in front and in back. Mipneshikula erva. Because basically, a woman is just as exposed from the front as from the back. And therefore, in that case, we have to cover front and back. So says Rabbi Yehuda. Whereas the Chachomim says, no, actually, only a male is sakul without any clothes on, except for this loincloth. But when it comes to a woman, we don't take off her clothes at all. And therefore, it's mashma that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, all we do is cover up just exactly areas that are genital. Masha Enkin, according to Chachamim, we don't expose her body. So no one sees her naked body. So now that means that it's Dafka the Chachamim who seem to be more makbid on people getting turned on that are bystanders, and Rabbi Yehuda, who is the one that Dafka is the one that says, we don't care. I don't understand. It's completely reversal, isn't it? So how do you explain that? I mean, here he says, if she's beautiful, we don't want people seeing her beautiful breasts. Oh, my rabbi, no. This has nothing to do with that at all. What we're doing over here is because in the sota, we've got a totally different problem. Suppose this sota turns out indeed to be innocent, right? And the mayim are not bodkim ota. If you've got 20 people that are turned on by her, they're going to be stalking her for next year. So we can't afford that. I mean, but what does that have to do with a woman who's about to be killed? So here it's Shema Teitzemi Beidin Zaka'im. And therefore, we got all these Pirkei Kahuna. These Pirkei Kahunas are really Pirkei Kahuna. So they're going to get turned on. And then they'll be chasing after her, you know. V'yidgaruba Pirkei Kahuna. Masha Enkin, over here, she's about to be killed, you know. So what are we afraid of? It's not the question of turning people on. That's not what bothers us here. That's what you jumped to conclusion. What bothers us is the question of whether they are going to bother her. That's the issue. As far as they're concerned with their own minds, that's up to them. We don't have to worry about not putting naked women in the Beit HaMikdash and let them not look if they've got problems. But as far as the case over here, we need to protect her. Because if she is a sota that turns out to be completely innocent, so then we can't have her being the object of people stalking her. V'chi tema, so you'll say, okay, but still, I mean, won't we have to worry? I understand, okay, you're telling me we don't care about turning people on. But I mean, if they're turned on to that extent that they're going to stalk her, why aren't we worried that they're going to be turned on and stalk somebody else? So fine, you tell me their mind is their problem, but certainly the protection of the public is not their problem. So why aren't we worried about Atilit Garuya Bachrinaita? They're going to attack other women. Ah, amazing Gemara, in which Rava says that's not a problem. Why? Because he has a Kabbalah, the Ein Yetzer Hara Sholeit Ela B'ma She'inav Ro'ot. Amazing. If you see this particular woman, so then, Einach Hinami, you could get turned on to her and you could stalk her. But just because you get turned on doesn't mean that you're going to have any kind of specific desire to stalk anybody else. The Yetzer Hara cannot turn a person against himself where there isn't a specific actual re'iyah. This is an amazing thing because it actually explains the strange phenomena of the commercial value of pornography. Because, I mean, what's the point of buying more than one pornographic picture? Right? I mean, it sounds crazy. Basically, every picture is like every other picture. I mean, what's the difference? Breasts A or breasts 7,349. It's all the same biology. But yet the commercial bottom line shows that that's not true. And here, this is the basis of it in the Gemara, that the specificity of the Yetzer Hara is to be turned on by a naim that have a specific object. And therefore, every object is unique, is astounding, right? Because, I mean, you'd never have thought such a thing on your own. So anyway, okay. So now we know why there's no stira in Rebbe Yehuda. Because one case is talking about where you don't have to worry about her being stalked because she's going to be dead. And the other one is we're worried that indeed she's going to get out of the Beis HaMikdash and the Pirkei Kuhuna are going to stalk her. So what do you do? But that's all very nice. But meanwhile, we haven't... What is that in front of you there? Daniel, what's going on? Dad, where's your picture? There we go. Okay, so the question is, how come nobody's interested in giving a teretz on a contradiction in the Rabbanan? I mean, you're pretending that the only problem we have is Rebbe Yehuda against Rebbe Yehuda, right? But what about the Rabbanan? So you tell me the only problem you got, Omar Rava, the Rebbe Yehuda, the Rebbe Yehuda, that's your only kasha. The Rabbanan, Ad Rabbanan is not a kasha. I mean, we showed that there's a contradiction over there also. You haven't offered me any contradiction between the Shita and the Rabbanan about the skila and nakedness of the skila and the Rabbanan over here of where they don't care about uncovering this woman in the Beis HaMikdash. Try to explain that. Therefore, says Rava, I believe that the two issues are completely unrelated. And the question of skila has nothing to do with turning on people at all. Hello, Amar Rava, the question of Rebbe Yehuda, yes, I agree. Okay, the answer you gave is perfectly valid answer. Lo kasha kidashanina, that's fine. But the truth is that the thing that was the steer in the Rabbanan, the gabi skila, the issue over there was not because of the fact that we're worried that people will get turned on. The Rabbanan learned like this. Listen, in the case of the Sota, why do we want the Sota to be exposed in this fashion? Because the Torah said so. It says, v'nivasru kol anashim, we want all of the women to take to heart how they're going to destroy themselves by this type of behavior. But over there, what is the point? I understand. We're supposed to embarrass someone? Like, why would we do that? I mean, you really think that the women that are watching this woman being stoned to death because of Arias, like, that's what's going to bother them? That she's naked? It's not bad enough she's being killed and stuff? That's like, in lecha yisur gadol mizeh. You don't take a bigger lesson than the fact that you're watching someone being niskal. So really, the nakedness is completely irrelevant. So you'll say, well, why not? I mean, once we're gonna show them the devastation of this hate, so let's do both. Let's kill her. And it certainly adds, I mean, a little bit of extra embarrassment. So let's do that. Omer Nachman, Omer Rabba Baravua, because Dafka, you have a mitzvah to treat this woman humanely as you're killing her. Why? Because of v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha also means dror lo mita yafa. Is this the way you would want to die? So why isn't that also good? Well, you're saying, if I'm killing a person, why do I have to take them to kill? That's not true. Absolutely not true. there's two completely different issues over here. The chiyuv of misa that the Torah gives, that's something that I have to carry out, that for some reason should take away the haftal recha kamocha. So if this is not the way that you would want to be treated, so then you have to search for them the kindest way that they suffer the least. So because of that, when it comes to there, of course, we're going to have to make sure that we don't embarrass her. Masha'inkin, when it comes to our sugya, it says beferish, that that's what we want, is viniva sukal anashim. So then, wait, so then if Reb Nachman says that the zechiyah b'vahavtol recha kamoch, when it comes to brorlo mita yafa, so then what would that mean? That means that the machlokes of yibetun the chachomim, and they say that you should leave the woman dressed when you're going to be sokel her. So they're the ones who hold like Reb Nachman. Is that what you're saying? So what, Reb Nachman's shita is a machlokes tanoim? That makes sense to you? That he would just say something and not make it dependent on a machlokes tanoim? So that's dafka Reb Yehuda. Reb Yehuda says, no, it's not true. And therefore, we should make her, we should even be sokel her naked. So how could that be? Of course, that's not the point. The point of the machlokas between Reb Yehuda and the Chachomim is not about the theory of Bror Lo Mita Yafa. Everybody agrees, Bror Lo Mita Yafa. But the question is, what is a Mita Yafa? That's the question. So the issue is like this. Mar Sabar, Bizyoni Odif Litfei Mitzara Deguf. So the Chachomim hold that a person's concern for his own dignity or for her own dignity is more meaningful to her than the tzar of her body is more meaningful to her than the question of whether they're going to be in a state of being naked at the time that they're being killed, because they'll suffer less, you know? And he'd much rather, it's not whether, it's what. So therefore, according to Chachamim, so we're assuming that actually he cares more about the way in which he suffers, and he would rather suffer more than being degraded in this fashion. So according to that, since it's very degrading for a woman to be stripped naked, so because of that, they say even though it's going to be a more painful death, because it could take another second for her to die, if she has clothes on, she'd prefer that because she'd rather not suffer, and she'd rather be less mevuzet. That's the point. And that's the sheet of the Chachomim. So therefore they say that in that case, then don't expose her. Masha'inkin Reb Yehuda holds that no, she'd actually want to suffer less. And Sarah de Gufe, worrying about the pain that's involved, is odif letfei mibizyonim. She's not concerned at that point for being stripped naked. She just wants to die quickly. Okay, the next thing that we have, which we said Lamaisa was out of order, because obviously we're going to change the way that she's dressed before we're going to do this tearing of her clothes, is that Haita Mechusa Levanim, so then we give her a black dress that she should look less chashev. Tana, look, I mean, it's really not a question of white and black. It's a question of what looks good on her. Let's say that this is the kind of woman who looks all slinky in a black dress, you know, and now we're going to dress her in a black dress. You're going to slinking around and sorry, that's not exactly what we want to achieve. If she looks good in black, so find something that looks ugly on her. But the point obviously isn't white or black. I mean, you might have thought there was a question, you know, that white looks lily pure and black is saying that she's not, but that has nothing to do with it. It's all a focus on whether or not she looks better. And if she has these beautiful golden earrings and katliot and so on and so forth, we take them off of her. I mean, do we really need to say that? I mean, if we're tearing her dress to shreds, like you're saying, yeah, but, you know, leave on all this beautiful golden jewelry. I mean, it's obvious, right? I mean, we're even taking off her dress and changing her into lower quality clothing. So Koshiki, we are not going to allow this kind of beautiful jewelry on her, would we? Hashta, navle minavela, animi boy, if we're making her disgusting looking, So we're certainly not going to allow her to wear beautiful jewelry. That would seem to be very posher. No, actually. Marda Dema, Bahani Itla Bizayon Tve. You might have thought that if you leave on her golden jewelry, it's even a bigger embarrassment. Why? Getting Amrayinchi, people always make fun of that kind of situation. Well, looky there. There he is. He's thrown off all of his clothes, but he's still got his running shoes on. You know, wow. That looks like a nut, right? So it's like Yeshiva Bokram going into the shower wearing their big black porcelain hats, you know. So I mean, that looks really more stupid than not wearing anything. So if that's the case, it should be maybe Bedavka, let her look like a Meshuggah. Wearing this beautiful jewelry only accentuates the fact that we're making her so menuvelet. Kamash Malan, that no, that actually there's a sense that jewelry provides a certain chashivus. Okay, then it says we take a chevel mitzrin and we tie it above her breasts, and that way her dress at least won't fall off. So by name of Abimurvim, this din of chevel mitzrin, is it li'ikuva? Meaning, will we go ahead and be bodek as sota, even if we don't have a chevel mitzri? Or is the chevel mitzri an integral part of the entire question? My question boils down to this. Is the main point over here, mishum shelo yishamtu v'gadeo me'alehu, is it just that we don't want the dress to fall off? So it doesn't matter. I mean, if you've got yourself just like a garter belt or something, that's enough to hold up her dress. Oh, Dilma, Mishum di Omar Mar, Hi Chagra lo Betziltzul. We're going to see that all of the inyanim of the Seita are actually very carefully calibrated in terms of bringing out the Midah Kineged Midah of everything that's involved. So one of the things is that since she used to use the little beautiful golden chain, and in the same way that we're trying to use the chevel mitzri, so therefore we're bringing out something with this chevel mitzri. And we're saying, if she made herself beautiful to turn on this guy, the adulterer, so l'ficha kohen mevi chevel mitzri, because sherla l'mala midadea, so we, so to speak, are going out of our way to stress the mida kineged mida of the fact that all of that beautiful activity that she was engaged in turns here into an additional way to embarrass her. So then maybe that's ma'akeh, because maybe that's the main point over here, is to use something ugly. And okay, it happens to be that it will hold up her dress. I mean, if the main point is that we need just to hold up her dress, okay, if we're going to choose what to use, so we use a chevel mitzri because it has this additional value of embarrassing her. But if the main point, and we're going to see how central this is to the Seita issue, in terms of understanding din as we go on in the sugya today and tomorrow, it's extremely central. So maybe that is the main point of the chevel mitzri. And it's not so much logistical as it is mida keneged mida. So then we'd have to wait until we get ourselves a chevel mitzri, and it would be ma'akeh. Or marlei, so Ravuna says, you can see the answer in the Braita, penitua. It says, v'acharkach mevi chevel ha-mitzri, v'kosher la lemala midadeh, kidei shelo yishamtu begadeh mi'aleh. So why does it bother even explaining why it is that we bring the chevel mitzri? Because that's what it's coming to tell me. That's the primary issue. We're bringing, it happens to be it's a chevel mitzri, because otherwise it doesn't make any sense what the brides are saying. We bring a chevel mitzri to prevent her dress from falling off. That's the only way to prevent the dress from falling off. You can use anything to prevent the dress from falling off. So that it's going out of its way to say that the chevel mitzri, despite its other remuzin, the reason that we're bringing it is a logistical reason. And therefore, obviously, it's not going to be ma'akev if we have something else to hold her dress up. Now, we've got a contradiction. The Mishnah first said, Anybody who wants to look at her should come and look. Very nice. And then it says that the women are all allowed to come and look. I understand. First you said, first you say men, women, whoever wants to come can come. And then you say, well, the women are mutarot. Kol anashim mutarot lirota. Which implies that the men are not allowed to come and to look. Nashim in, anashim lo. Amar Abaye, when it says whoever wants to come, it means women. Tergama anashim. It doesn't mean men. It's just explaining to you, you know, when you say whoever wants to come, it really means the women can come. Amar Abaye, that's a brilliant explanation, except for that one unfortunate problem, which is that the Mishnah says anyone who wants to come. I gather you didn't notice that. So, again, this is Rava doing his normal language insistence that things mean exactly what they were said to mean. So that's not the answer. Now I'll tell you the answer. Hello, Amar Rava. Kol harotze lirot baroya. Whoever wants to come can come. That doesn't matter. Men, women, they can come. But women have to come. Because it says in the pasuk, "V'nin vasru kol anashim velo ta'asena kizimatchena." So when it says kol anashim mutarot, the mutarot over there is a lashon of hatra'ah. All of the women, we insist that they have to come, are warned they better come and look, because the Torah says, "V'nin vasru kol hanashim." And now we begin this next amazing sugya, which stresses, and we've seen this so many times, the introduction to the Mishnah is basically given at the end of the previous sugya. So since over here, the sugya started talking about Hevel Mitzri, we now use that as an introduction to our Mishnah, which was the reason we wanted to know whether Hevel Mitzri is specifically because of Mida Keneged Mida, and our clear-eyed, far-seeing Kapitan, using not only the simple bandwidth of vision granted to humans, but with the additional help of radar and sonar, will now introduce with his far-seeing clarity the next Mishnah.
Sorry about that.
He had an exciting Seder last night.
Yeah, very
beautiful.
Anyway.
Bimidash Adam Modeid Boha Modedim Lo. These dinim, the way that a person acts himself, that's exactly the way that in the Shamayim he is repaid. And you see this very clearly in the issue of the Sotah, which is a primary expression of Midas HaDin, as we're going to see. Hi kishta tatzma la'avera. So she got herself all prettied up in order to attract this adulterer. Hamakom nivla. The Midah Keneged Midah is to turn her ugly. Hi kivta et tatzma la'avera. She was actually exposed herself in order to sleep with this guy, and so HaKadosh Baruch Hu stripped her too, but not in private, but right there at Shar Nikanor. And he was biyarach hitchila ba'averat chila v'achar kach habeta. The first thing that she did getting into bed with this guy is just enjoying the kiruv basar. So in other words, her thigh got the first pleasure. And then she got to the real business, which is beten, which we're using in God. So also for genitals and the ficha, tilkeh hayarech techila, and therefore her yarech, her thigh, is the first thing to be destroyed, and then her beten, and then shar hakolaguv lo palat. Doesn't don't think the rest of her body can escape because this was a pleasure that was hers in her entire body. Omer of Yosef. You should know that afagav de mida betela, bimida lo batel. Now, this is not exactly the same meaning as mida keneged mida. The point over here is that there's a concept of a specific type of mita that is prescribed for particular chataim. We take for granted that the Torah was mita'im that misa for the particular avera. So even though we no longer have a bezdin that is mechayev misa, however, the bimida, that idea of the mida, keneged mida, and the way in which things were meant to take place, that doesn't change, even when we can't have the specific differences between skila, sreifa, herek, chenek, the omer of Yosef, the chentan of Rabbi Chiya, miyom shecharav bet ha-migdash, afa pi shebatla Sanhedrin, arba mitot lo batlo. Even though we don't have a Sanhedrin, but there's still arba mitot bet din. What? What do you mean? Of course they were ba'al batlo. Everybody knows they were batlo even before the korban. And we didn't have a din of chiyuve misa in Besdin. No, what he means is that the din of arba mitot lo batlo, whatever it was that the Torah found appropriate, it still works out that way. Let's say somebody was chayev skila. So today he can fall off of a roof or he can be smashed into by a truck, which is basically the same idea. So he's going to end up getting the same misa as skila. Mishin et chayev srefa, ono fel bedvaka, maybe he'll be burned to death, or maybe nachash mikisho, which is the same as srefa, which of course is literal burning, but it's the same kind of idea in which something hot or near the poison of the nachash goes into his body. Mishin et chayev ariga, where we were supposed to actually cut off his head, so to speak, and use a cherub. O nimsar lemalchut, o listim ba'imalav. So either the same thing can take place by muggers, or listim, or an army, whatever. Mishin of chayev chanika, if he was supposed to actually be strangled with the rope, so he can drown tovei benahar. Or make besaronki, or he can end up dying with something that, like COVID, that stops his lungs from working. But it's the same idea. You end up having the same type of mis. Tanya Hayarebi Omer, minayin shebimidash adam oded ba moded dima. How do we know this idea? Bichlal. Shenema, it says so in the pasuk. It's a beautiful pasuk. Bisa'asea bishachate rivena. This word bisa'a se'a reads as sa'a bisa'a. In other words, when it's time to finish up the din, terivena, so then it's bisa'a se'a. Mida keneged sa'a is a mida. Sa'a l'sa'a is a mida keneged mida. Eimli ela sa'a. Okay, I mean, a sa'a is like a pretty big mida, you know. Is this true about like small issues as well? How do we know minayler about tarkav and a chasik tarkav? I mean, a tarkav is a trevekav, which is half of a saw, or even a half of that. Or how about one kav? How about half of a kav? How about a quarter of a kav? How about an eighth of a kav? A toman, v'uchla. I mean, how do we know, like, even these very tiny little bits that are measures are also called midah? Would we say midah keneged midah on every last kind of thing? Talmud Omar, ki kol se'on so'ein b'ra'ash. So it says over here, the portion of meaning is, every single midah, se'on, same lashon as sa'ah, is so'ein b'ra'ash. It makes its own noises. So the kol se'on means that for every little bit of nonsense noise that you make with your averas, it's going to be repaid with the same sa'ah. And how do we know that even though a person may not be punished initially, but everything is like added up in the end. You may have the tiniest amount, which is just a pruta, the smallest possible coin, that in the end it adds up and the person doesn't get away with murder. Talmud Lomar, achat liachat, limtso cheshbon, Shlomo HaMelech says. So that means that each one is added to one in the end, to gather into a cheshbon gadol. And this idea of mida keneged mida v'chein matzino bisota shebemida shemadada ba modedu la. She stood at the doorway of her house. Come in, young man. So the coin puts her right there. Mar Ekulon Alako. He Pirsalo Sudarimna Ina Rosha. She had all kinds of beautiful decorations and on her hair. Lafika Kohino Teoki Pami Orosha Mini Khotakadakwa. The coin takes off her beautiful hats and standard designs and puts it underneath her naked feet. He kishtalo panea. She made herself so beautiful on her face. Lafika Panea Morikot, we'll see later on that her face turns white. She made up her eyes really fancy. Then we see that her eyes bulge out and look awful before she drops dead. She made her hair so beautifully braided. She stuck out a finger this way, this way. And because of that, as we're going to see, it says the kogufa in a polet. So she puts on these beautiful golden belts. That's where we got that idea from. She stretches out her beautiful thigh, and the figure of Yerecha no fell it. Therefore, that thigh falls to pieces. She can't even stand. She had him on her stomach. The figure bit not savar. Stomach now explodes. She's giving him all these delicious things in their little cocktail party. Therefore, the korban that's brought for mincha seita is animal food because we use zedakas zorim, tonight's korban actually, for the omer which we're preparing. She had for him these beautiful cups with the highest quality. Wine. Therefore, the coin brings her that little cup that Barnea was so kind to show us, which is certainly not high quality, you know. And he puts a lime amorim instead of the beautiful wine. He astab is seter. She was acting in the privacy. Yoshev is seter al Yona Kadosh Baruch Hu's alternate seter samba panim to expose her. The eyes of the adulterer are waiting for the nighttime, saying, no one will see me, but Yoshev and the Seser Yom will certainly see. By the way, this is interesting because the word for Shoah, this b'mashaon, is the same word as Shoah. And the word for Shoah, as Rashi explains, is darkness. So what it means is that disgusting things, sin'ah, or they're trying to cover it up in the darkness, tigale ra'ata b'kahal. So therefore, we see that it's all mida k'neged mida.